All right, so the phones are full. We'll try and get you a line anyway for Dr. John Provera. Sorry, what did I just say that? Vera Penn. It's like I had some sort of weird, I knew it was wrong. It was leaving my mouth. And then the book is Side Effects Death. And also coming up, too, a couple of different observations that people have made. I've just gotten a couple of messages. I want to look up something about something that Dr. John Verapin said about the pharmaceutical industry and double check it to see whether he's right on that. It's very interesting if he is. Coming up next on Coast to Coast, this is Ian Punnett. I'll get to as many questions and comments as we can for Dr. John Verapin on Coast to Coast AM. Let's start with the person who's been hanging on the longest. That's Mike in Livermore, California, on Coast to Coast. Mike.
Good morning, Ian. Great to talk to you once again. And doctor, I'm a believer. I believe what you say. I've already thought what you say. But as Ian's been pushing all night long, please give us something out of your book, one specific that shows or says, you know, we went this route because we want to keep them addicted and not get a cure. I mean, do you have specific documents in that area? The
Okay,
other
that's good.
part, it's just,
All right, let's get
if I
that one
could
first.
ask.
Wait, Mike, let's get that answer first. Go ahead, John.
Well, I have documents. I've written about one incident, that's the Prozac story. But I'm afraid you'll have to buy the book and take a look.
Okay,
There's so many
wait. I hate,
details there.
we hate that answer. We hate that answer because we've invested 2 hours in you. So tell me, I mean, I think that's a totally fair question. Give us, if there are many examples in the book, that's fine. So we'll have one fewer one to read when we read the book. But what's one, give us another example of something documentable like that.
Well, the documentation that I have, most of it is put away because that is my insurance. That is why I'm even here talking to you guys after all the death threats and stuff that I've had.
Okay.
I have posted the one big one about Sweden, and that's available in the book and on the internet also.
The sweet meaning that you expedited the approval of Prozac through bribery.
Yes.
Okay. But is there the question is there a specific drug, if I'm getting your question right, Mike, that with the it's a specific drug or a specific incident where Eli Lilly or any of the other pharmaceutical companies went, you know, this road, which was the road to profit and to not curing, when they actually had something in their back pocket that could have cured it and didn't bring it out.
Well, I don't have any specific names of they're all coded the drugs that that's in their pipeline. I can't get any specifics on that one.
Okay.
All I have are events of corruption paying off to get something done. Now, you take this, the Cyprexa drug for that recently they were fined $1.4 billion.
Right, for
That is
Zyprexa.
all over the news. Anybody can see that on the
Right,
internet. But people
right.
don't go to the extent that they dig up things like this on the computer.
Zyprexa
But
was an antidepressant, right?
yes. No, yes, yeah, it's a neuroleptic used to treat schizophrenia. And lo and behold, this major side effect of that drug is diabetes. It creates diabetes in the people who take them. Who's the largest insulin producer in the world? Eli Lilly and Company.
Okay, that's pretty
They
good,
were
Mike.
fined $1.4 billion, not because of the side effects and whatnot, but because they were selling it off-label. Off-label marketing means selling it to indications to be used on indications that they have no approval for. That is criminal.
All right, Mike, is that a pretty
Yeah.
good answer?
Yeah, that's pretty good. And as I told Gina, I watch these commercials for these drugs, and actually some that I take, and I hear the side effects, you know, the quick disclaimer goes through.
Right,
And it's like,
right.
why would you take these drugs? my second question was, and this is probably for a whole nother show, two of the names that jumped out at me, George Bush and Dick Cheney, members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And where does the direction of where the pharmaceutical come from? Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, Bilderberg,
Let's get an answer. You ask a good question. Let's get an answer. Go ahead, John.
The answer is that these people are paid by the drug companies to propose legislations. I mean, it might not be one single event, but they're there to serve the industry.
Right.
They were put there also in many instances to serve the industry.
To make sure they got what they wanted. Let's go east of the Rockies. Les is in Fairlawn, New Jersey, on Coast to Coast. Les?
Hello. Your guest mentioned that the company should research natural products, but there's something he didn't explain. Most foods, vitamins, minerals, herbs, and various other things cannot be patented. Now, if a product is not patented, the sales would be spread thin among many companies.
Right.
Each company would only make a small amount of money. So no company will do the expensive research to get the products approved by the FDA.
All right.
Let's
give him a chance to respond to that. Dr. Verapin, is that right?
Yeah, that is quite true. To do research, honest research, or transparent research on these substances, you would need to have a lot of money. But no matter how much money you've spent, and I've known a lot of companies that have spent a lot of money on these alternative products, but they never get through the system because the pharmaceutical companies own the system. The FDA, the government, all of these regulatory people are under the payroll of the pharmaceutical industry. And there's been a report only recently that the World Health Organization, the CDC, the FDA, all of them are involved in trying to get business for the pharmaceutical industry, like the vaccines, for example. This comes from people from the pharmaceutical industry who now works for the World Health Organization and other regulatory people. So these products are now in Europe from the 1st of January this year. There are regulations that have been put in place now that people can't go and buy vitamins over the counter like they did before, because they have put a cap on the dosage. To get the right dosage of a vitamin, for example, you need a prescription.
Wow.
And what does that mean? It means that the pharmaceutical industry is now putting their sights on alternatives, either to suppress them or to take over.
Wow, that is huge. That's very interesting.
Yeah, and it's coming in America now. The Americans are a little more restrictive in what they're doing, but it's getting through. There are several companies in the U.S. right now who are probably going to go bankrupt because they're not allowed to sell their alternatives.
As long as the alternatives work. I mean, I think there's a lot of products, and I won't be specific, but I've tried one recently for a chronic problem I've had, and they make a lot of claims in their commercials, and it didn't work. It didn't work. It didn't come close to working. And so, I think there are some of these so-called homeopathic remedies out there that the government doesn't want you to know about, whatever. But when you actually try them, they may or may not work. And I'll say this if you're going to take a painkiller, at least when you're taking a pharmaceutical painkiller, at least it kills the pain. It may also have terrible side effects, but at least the pain is gone for a period of time.
Yeah, but then you get side effects, and then you got to go back to the doctor. That costs more money. You get another pill. It's a whole spectrum of the whole thing.
Well, I'll go along.
I found here in Germany recently, as a matter of fact, only about 2 months ago, I found a therapy that the Germans, a couple of German doctors came up with 50 years ago. and it works. There are no side effects on this therapy, on not all indications, on certain types of ailments. And that has been pushed away. Very few people are using it now in Germany, homeopathic people are using this therapy. In America, they don't know about it. Some doctors
Well, tell us about it. What is it?
In America, they call them trigger points. In Germany here, it's an ordinary anesthetic, a derivative from lidocaine. It's called procaine. And this thing is injected in areas where you have certain types of indications. And it works. And these guys, they found this thing accidentally because they're two brothers. And their sister was suffering from unbearable migraine. So they gave her this thing intravenously. And while they were administering the drug, her migraine went away. And
Wow.
then they continued their research. And this thing is there. It's not being used. And it's 50 years old.
And it's a derivative of lidocaine.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an ordinary anesthetic with no side effects.
You know, I once I had really bad eczema on my hands, and my eczema used to break up all the time, and it was really uncomfortable, especially in the winter. And I once came up with I couldn't get the pain to stop. It was always very painful, and the medication they gave me burned. You know, so it would help the eczema, but it would burn. It made it much more uncomfortable. So I made a combination. I went to my doctor and I asked him if I could have some lidocaine, and he said no. And I said, okay. And then I found it from a friend of mine who's a doctor. And so he gave me lidocaine and then this topical drug that they wanted me to use. And I mixed them together myself, and I made my own medication that was like one part lidocaine, one part eczema med, and it worked great. It no longer hurt to put it on. And I called my doctor back and I said, they ought to make this stuff because it works really well. And all my doctor was mad at me that I had gone behind his back to get the lidocaine from somebody else. He wasn't happy that my pain had gone away. He was just mad that I like gotten lidocaine from somebody else. Like, he supposedly was the only person who could give me a prescription on the entire planet. Like, it was written down in some book by God that this is the only guy who could give me anything. I was so stunned by his response. I thought it was funny.
You know, and the guy before with the question on an example of something that can cure, stem cell research has been capped, controlled by the government. And whatever, do you know why stem cell research is not being more prolific in the world today? Because it will cure the diseases that the pharmaceutical companies are making so much money out of.
Well, that's interesting. And recently, as recent as last week, the story was out that blindness is already being cured with stem cell research.
I read that yesterday.
Yeah,
there are other examples of stem cells that have done wonders. But if it gets out on a commercial basis, then you can close all these companies down, and all the big guys are going to lose a lot of money.
Well, or what you'll see, I think, is that you'll see stem cell therapy being offered for things like blindness that currently there's no drug that you can give for it.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, so, I mean, they're not losing any money by doing that. Let's go to Darren in Tempe, Arizona, west of the Rockies, for Dr. John Verapen. The book is Side Effects, Death on Coast to Coast. Darren?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to speak with you both. My question is regarding Prozac. I have been on Prozac since 1989, and I have had suicidal tendencies off and on. And what my question is to you is, other than suicide, can you name specifics as to what it does to your body. And if you tell me that I have to buy the book, I think that's pretty hypocritical.
Well,
I'll take my answer off the air.
Okay.
Well, I mentioned buy the book because there's a series of things that I wrote about in there. It would take a long time for me to explain it on the radio, unless, Ian, you guys bring me back for another 3 or 6 hour session. Prozac has effect on the total body, especially the brain. And the major side effect of this thing is called akathisia. This is tendency to commit suicide or suicidal thoughts.
What, other than suicide, is there any other prominent side effect? So let's say he can deal with the... He's found a way to cope with the suicidal tendencies that come as a result of taking this drug. He's found a way to not, where he believes he's got that under control. Is there anything else he had to worry about?
Well, I can't give you off the top of my head. I'm sitting in front of my computer here, but
that's fine. Nothing else. It. Nothing
but
else jumps out.
If you're taking Prozac, pull out the package insert and read the side effects there. I've put up about 50 or 60 different ones in my book. There are lots of side effects, albeit not major, but the major ones are also noted in the package inserts. And that is another thing that the pharma industry does in collaboration with the regulatory people. The package inserts, they're like insurance company contracts, you know, the little fine print that you don't, nobody reads. People don't read the package inserts.
Yeah, no, I don't think they do because the print is literally so small. And they jam everything on those little pages. Let's go first time caller line. Richard is in Folsom, California for Dr. John Verapen. Richard?
Yeah, hi, good evening.
Evening.
Yes. Ian, you need to be a little bit more open to this topic. I've had some firsthand experience with all this stuff, and everything this man is saying is pretty much true.
Who's having this guy on the show, Richard? Who invited him on the damn air, okay?
Right.
If I weren't open to it, he wouldn't be here.
Okay.
Give me a break. Okay.
I want to give a quick story of mine. John, are you familiar with benzodiazepines?
Yes.
Ativan and stuff?
Yes.
Okay, this is my story. I've developed tinnitus in my ear, so I went to my local Kaiser doctor to get some help. So I went in there, and he put me on these Ativan pills. I never heard of them. And I'm always been a healthy guy, exercising, martial arts, and all these things. And I just wanted some relief, and so he gave me those things. Well, about 10 days into taking those, I started just freaking out. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I had no idea. I was, can't tell you. I just can't explain how nasty.
What did he tell you the Ativan was supposed to do?
Calm me down and relax me and help make the noise go away.
Well,
that's what the benzodiazepines are for. They're tranquilizers.
Okay, well,
and sometimes doctors, who, if I may add, doesn't really know much about pharmacology, they
right.
would combine the benzodiazepines with the antidepressants, for example. Even the pharmaceutical companies use that as a trick, because when they perform a clinical study, they calm the patient down with a tranquilizer and then do the study. You see, then it'll show positive results.
I'm going to ask both of you to hang on because we're coming right up here on a break. So stand by. Richard, I'll put you on hold and you can come back and you can pursue that question. I know this because I have tinnitus too. This is a real common thing that doctors are doing right now, is treating the anxiety around having a buzzing in the ear and claiming that that's the same as treating the buzzing. It's not. I wish they were right. But we'll find out more about that next, too, with Dr. John Verapen. The book is Side Effects, Death on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. So I actually was going to bring up eczema. I mentioned earlier in the hour with Dr. John Verapan that there was a I was looking for something. I was Googling around trying to find a disease, anything that the pharmaceutical industry had cured with all of the amount of money that they said they spent on research and all of their interest, they say, in curing these things. So I started looking around and I found this something that said about an eczema cure that the pharmaceutical industry knows about and they won't use. And so I went from that link to another link and it said right here, this is the cure for eczema. And I have mild eczema. And I thought, well, that'd be nice to be rid of that once and for all. So I went and I clicked on that, which sent me to another link, to another link. Bottom line is I would have ended up having to spend like $100 to find out what the cure is. And I think that is just the very same thing they're accusing the pharmaceutical industry of doing, is hiding what they say is the cure and making me give them money to find out what it is. So I think, you know, we got to take some of this with a grain of salt. If this information is out there, then it should just be out there. And be wary of anybody that's charging you to find out too much about this information. And I wouldn't go down that road. I think the more you pay for the information, probably the less true it is. But that brings us back to Richard's situation about eczema, or no, about tinnitus. He was told that that he needed to have he needed to take Ativan. And within about 10 days, he was going out of his head. We'll pick that up next with Dr. John Verapan on Coast to Coast. This is Ian Punnett. All right, so we go back to Richard, whose doctor prescribed Ativan, which is an interesting trend. So did it help reduce your anxiety about the ringing in your ears, Richard?
Ian, it did for the first few days. Okay.
So you stopped noticing it so much?
Yeah, it did. It has a short-term effect only.
Okay. And then what happened?
Oh, if you've ever thought about a hell, I don't need a hell beneath the earth. I went through a hell on top of the earth already.
I'm sorry to hear that. Like what? What was happening to you?
Okay. What was happening is he told me to take a pill at midnight and a pill at noon. Okay. So what was happening after 10 days, my brain had gotten addicted to it. You become addicted to those benzodiazepines within 10 days. They don't tell you that. So what was happening, I was having inter-dose withdrawal syndrome. I was going into withdrawals in between the time I woke up in the morning and between my noon tablet. And it makes you curl up into a ball like a fetus. It makes you cry like a baby. It makes you try to go get a gun and shoot yourself. It just about destroyed my marriage, my life, everything. It went on for a whole month. I lost. Went 10 days without sleep. I went to emergency rooms. I went to Kaiser doctors. I went to everybody, and they said, "Well, we don't know what's wrong with you. You're having a panic attack." And I said, "I'm an ex-merchant sailor. I've sailed the whole world. I'm a robust fellow, and I'm having a panic attack."
Well, panic attacks can happen, but it wasn't that. You're saying it wasn't the tinnitus; it was the Ativan. So, in the end, what did you do? Just wrap that up for us.
Okay, so nobody could help me. So I thought suicide was my only way out. And I haven't had suicidal tendencies before, but I was going to go. I was going to do it. But I had a last resort. I called a friend of mine and I told him what was going on. He said, "Dude, you're in withdrawals. You're going to kill yourself if you don't get on that medication and keep it up. And I'm going to help you get on a program to where you're going to taper off of that. You got to use Valium because it's a lower dose substance." He helped me. I went to my doctor, got some Valium, and it took me a whole year to taper off, and I finally got off of it. He's not a doctor. He ended my nightmare. I went to emergency rooms, doctors, nurse calls. Nobody could help me, but a friend of mine that's not even a doctor saved my life.
All right, well, let's get this doctor's thought on that.
So that's how, when he says that they're murdering you,
yeah,
they're murdering you because you go back to them for help. They can't help you because they don't know what's wrong with you. They don't know what the stuff is. They don't know that you're in withdrawal, and you go home and kill yourself.
All right.
Well, Richard, here's my view on this. By the way, I'm not a medical doctor. I'm a psychologist, if anybody wonders, Dr. Verapan. But I've been reading medicine since I was 15. And during the last few years, just to figure out what's going on with the pharma industry, I have read more than any normal human being would. So I treat myself now. I make my diagnosis. I go to the hospital, tell them this is what I'm suffering from. if I need something, like I have a pacemaker right now, I demanded to have the pacemaker when I went to the hospital because the doctors, they were trying to prolong the diagnosis and have EKG for this and that. I said, no, look at the EKG. This is what I want. And they gave it to me. Anyway, regarding your thing, get off those drugs, man.
Right.
It's, that's
well, I think
the only,
he did. Yeah, I think it was the interesting thing about that was he got off them because his friend helped him, not because the doctor helped him.
Yeah, well, the doctors are not going to help you because those guys are also out to make a buck, you know, and they prescribe their drugs and the pharmaceutical companies pay them to prescribe drugs sometimes.
And they do. You know, I'll tell you a quick story. This will not surprise you. You'll be the last person on the planet to be shocked by this story, but I'll repeat it anyway. A good friend who is a doctor made an offhand comment, said that he was prescribing a drug to all of his patients because he had had such a good time with the pharmaceutical rep the week before. He really liked her. She was fun. They went to a concert. She got him and his wife these great tickets to go to a show. And he said, so I was prescribing that drug left and right. And I must have shot him a serious kind of weird look, like, what? He's like, well, I mean, it's a good drug too. It's a good drug too. But it was like, that was such a weird way to connect with prescribing a drug.
You know, in my just one of your callers wanted to know a little bit more, and then I said read a book or whatever. Yeah. I have, for example, taken 25 psychiatrists to Puerto Rico, wined and dined them for 2 weeks, and all of this was because we wanted sales from them. They had a lot of patients. I took them there on a bogus conference, wine, dine, sailing, and whatever, even prostitution. They went with me to the whorehouse almost every week. You can check the place.
The psychiatrist did? The psychiatrist did?
Of course.
They
can't afford to pay for themselves, so I had to go there and sponsor them.
Get hookers for them?
Of course. The place
that doesn't sound...
Look, it's one of the most famous whorehouses in the Western Hemisphere, in Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico. It's called the Black Angus.
Well, I don't know what it's. I'm not gonna check it out. You could be naming a steakhouse for all I know. So that's what he says. All right. So Ron is in Dallas on Coast to Coast for Dr. John Verapin. Go ahead, Ron. Ron.
Yes.
Dallas.
Can you hear me?
Sure can. Go ahead.
Okay, Ian. It's great to talk to you and Dr. John. I've got two questions for you and a comment. If I could earn frequent flyer miles from Eli Lilly, I could fly anywhere that I wanted to all the time because I've been on their insulin for a long time.
Which one?
Humalog.
Okay.
And the other thing is my doctor is wanting to prescribe me to Prozac, but I have not filled the prescription yet. And
what's wrong with you?
Well, I'm legally blind, been unemployed for over a year and a half. I can't drive. So, you know, I really have some limitations in my life right now. So, you know, I am definitely depressed, but I'm not sure that I'm as depressed as needing pharmaceuticals to, you know, do and get to where I need to be, okay?
And, well, what would you... Go ahead, Dr.
What's
Judd.
What's his diagnosis on you? Are you just depressed? Or?
Yes.
Well, I would advise you to perhaps go and see a good psychologist and explain your situation there, but stay away from the drug, man, and especially Prozac. You know, that's a habit with doctors. Take some Prozac. It'll do, you know, that's why it's called a blockbuster drug. It's the happy pill. That's the label they when it came out. And, you know, they follow these, all the junkies you have in Hollywood, for example. They like pills like that. And they help with the promotion also. So my advice to you, from my personal advice, it has nothing to do with being a doctor or whatever. Don't take it. There are other ways to treat depression. And by the way, depression is something that these people who are specialists in the area, they don't know much about it. You know, it's a bunch of psychiatrists going out there and prescribing pills because they can make a lot of money, but they don't know their tooth from their elbows, put it that way.
Well, go ahead, Ron.
You know, he was going to be, you know, prescribing a generic.
Yeah, well, the generics, there's just a when they lose patent, the big companies, other companies are allowed to bring in, but I don't trust them. I don't trust generics because they don't get the stringent approval process like the original product.
But the most important thing, I think, if I'm hearing you in there, is to say, try the alternatives, do everything you can to try alternatives, alternative therapies to the pharmaceutical response to depression.
There's a big clinical study out there with a natural medicine called St. John's Wort. And they did a comparison study with Prozac, and Prozac was no better than St. John's Wort. And in many cases, and there are big meta studies that came out, one in January and one came out last year, showing that this drug, or so-called drug, is useless. It does not work. These studies show.
Right. Well, that should be enough right there. Matt is in Jefferson City, Missouri, on Coast to Coast. Matt?
Hey, how are you, Ian?
Good. You're talking with Dr. John Verapen. Go ahead.
Good. I just had one comment with just an example. I mean, I sort of agree with what you're saying. There is a huge problem with overprescription of drugs, especially psychological stuff, when there's clear alternatives. But earlier you were mentioning about the lack of an incentive to develop cures. And I mean, I'm a big free market guy into politics. And, I was wondering, what do you think of the incentives in, you know, academia? And I even know of a few private industries that take huge interest in actually coming up with cures for, you know, for profit reasons. I mean, the example that comes to mind is the Institute of Basic Research up in New York, which has a lot of mental disorders and stuff like that. And just give you an example of two cures that have come up recently that I come to mind. I mean, one is the HPV vaccine, somewhat controversial, but it is what it is. And, you know, you have a lot of stuff coming up with insulin-producing bacteria. I mean, in general, I see we kind of had a stall on the medical age from after World War II. I mean, you had penicillin and you had a certain...
Let me cut in here. You brought up a very interesting thing, and I apologize that I haven't mentioned this before. But insulin. When the insulin product was approved, the human insulin, they only had short-term studies about that drug or product. There were no long-term studies. They went out and almost overnight, the doctors changed from animal insulin to this human insulin. But guess what? This was a trick. It is not human insulin. It is genetically engineered E. coli bacteria that produces an insulin that looks like the molecule of the human insulin, but it is not human insulin. Now, we don't know the long-term effects of that. It's coming out now. And I can sit here and swear to you, because I'm a diabetic, and I've been using this nonsense for a long time. And now I'm getting side effects that you cannot imagine. My joints, pains, neurological pains and what. So I stopped, because of the medicine I know for myself. I mean, I don't practice it, but I keep it to myself. I stopped the insulin, and lo and behold, I started going on, I'm a type 2 diabetic. I did the food program. I eat well. I use a lot of alternative antioxidants and stuff like that. And my diabetes is perfect. I don't need the insulin.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I mean, I guess my last just note to be brief is just that, you know, I guess with penicillin and then after World War II with the certain vaccines that came out especially, it was basically two similar methods. I mean, of course, penicillin kills a lot. And then you have vaccines formed from a very similar method. Now we just have to look into a whole new realm of treatments to try to actually come up with cures. And it's just something that's a very, you know, like a trial and error type thing. And I just think the free market's good. I mean, you compare it to the past 1,000 years, I think we're in good standing with that. And I guess I'll just leave it at that.
All right, I got to get in some other callers here who are waiting to get to the top of the hour on Coast to Coast. And Sharon is in Manitoba, Canada, for Dr. John Verapin. Go ahead, Sharon.
Oh, hello, Ian. Thanks. I'm so thankful. I tuned in tonight to hear this gentleman. I'm definitely interested in reading more in his book. Dr. Verapin, I'm just overwhelmed with the collusion. It's quite pervasive, and it seems like, okay, now if all my trust is destroyed in taking future medications, since there's no real regulatory reform, that seems to be a popular word, I can't trust my doctor. The pharmaceutical industry isn't making carpentry tools. We're not talking about clothing line. We're talking about people's lives here.
Exactly.
So I sympathize with your outrage, and I'm thankful that you're at least bringing awareness. Some people may not be convinced, but I'm telling you, I'm giving pause now as to whether or not to take Champex to help me to quit smoking. I'm not sure where to turn now, and I'm not sure as an individual what I can do. I think you've already answered it in part by saying eating better, exercising better. But when people are sick, if I do get sick, I'm not sure what to do.
Well, stay away from drugs. Try the alternatives out there. Try the natural medicine, because there's only one thing on this planet that can cure anything. That's you, your body. Your body cures. Take, for example, if you break a leg, you go to the doctor, you go to the hospital, they put your bone back together. They don't cure you. They just put the bone back together, and the body cures you that break.
Right.
Nothing else. You got to keep your immune system. You got to keep that tool that is supplied with when we were born, the body, to be able to fight off diseases that attack.
Prevention is the best cure. Lorianne, I think we have time for you on the international line.
How's it going?
Go ahead, Lorianne.
I did not think I'd get through tonight. I would like to know what happens to all the money that goes to all the charities for cancer and diabetes and MS?
They go into the pockets of executives because a charity, let me explain something many people don't know.
We have about 30 seconds for you.
Go ahead. The pharma companies say that they donate to charity a lot of money. When they donate $1, they make two profit. That's the bottom line.
Well, I want to make this point, though, because I do work with the Leukemia Lymphoma Society, amongst other charities. And I think it's important to point out that through research done at university levels, the average life expectancy of a child, for example, that has leukemia is now up to like 35, as opposed to used to be just a few years. So yeah. I think there are advances. I think that's important.
I mean, I'm just speaking generally. You know,
I understand. I didn't want her to be turned off but pick your charities carefully and look for results. And you can link up to Dr. John Verapin from this point forward by going to the website. I would say it's not an act of revenge. I think it's an act of avenging. You are avenging for something. And I think that I appreciate your time and your honesty in dealing with all of our questions. And thank you so much for your good work.
Thank you for having me on.
You can find out more at coasttocoastam.com. Deus te amat, and I do too.